Okay, so we're at the home stretch here. We're doing a fun one day sugya here that comes up with the Gemara on Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara here on Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, in the context of a certain discussion, brings up an issue in Hilchos Tzitzis, and we can't help but make the interesting observation that the Gemara tells us that Rav Amram Chasido made tzitzis for his wife. And so, you know, it kind of raises your eyebrows that he's making tzitzis for his wife. And that sparks today's discussion, which is whether women should be wearing tzitzis or not. So that's the topic for today. So the real sugya is in that Gemara in Menachos from the Marmakomos that we had, where was it, Andaf? Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara Menachos on Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara there brings a machlokes tanoim between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon on this issue as if women are chayiv in tzitzis or not. Starting with the shita of the Tanakama, Tanakama says that women are chayiv in the mitzvah of tzitzis, that if a woman puts on a four-corner garment, she will have to put tzitzis on that garment. That is the shita of the Tanakama. And Rabbi Shimon argues, Rabbi Shimon says that women are exempt from the mitzvah of tzitzis. Women do not need to put tzitzis on even if they're wearing a four-cornered garment. So that's the machlokes tanoim to Tanakama versus Rabbi Shimon, just to highlight that we do paskin like Rabbi Shimon, that women are not chayiv in the mitzvah of tzitzis. Now, what's the point of contention? What are they arguing about, whether women should or should not have to wear tzitzis? So the Gemara explains there in Menachos that the issue revolves around the pasuk of Ur Isem Oso. The Torah says in the parsha of tzitzis, Ur Isem Oso, you have to see the tzitzis. And the question is how to interpret this drasha, how to darshan these words. Reb Shimon understands that the pasuk of Ur Isem Oso is teaching us that ksus laila, garments of the night, are exempt from tzitzis. That ksus laila, garments of the night, are exempt from tzitzis, and therefore tzitzis becomes a mitzvah tzaseh shazman grama. We know that women are exempt from any positive mitzvah that's dependent upon time, any mitzvah tzaseh shazman grama. And so says Reb Shimon, tzitzis is going to be a mitzvah tzaseh shazman grama, that since these garments of the night are pater from tzitzis, ksos laila, are pater from tzitzis, well then tzitzis are a mitzvah tzaseh, shazman grama, therefore women are going to be pater from tzitzis. That is the shita of Rabbi Shimon. And the Tanakama holds not like that. He interprets Ur Isem Oso differently, but really ksos laila are chayiv in tzitzis, and so therefore tzitzis is not a mitzvah tzaseh, shazman grama, and women should indeed be chayiv in tzitzis. But this is the basic machlokes tanoim here from the Gemara Menachos, Manaf Mem Gimel Madalaf, as to if women are chayiv in tzitzis or not, which revolves around whether tzitzis is a mitzvah saseh, shazman grama. And now we can understand that Rav Amram Chasido in our Gemara in Sukkah was not starting a new Mesorah, but rather he was just passing like the Tanakama. He passed like the Tanakama that women are chayiv in tzitzis, and so therefore that's why he was putting tzitzis on his wife's garment. Okay. Now, we're going to focus in on the shita of Rabbi Shimon. Focusing on Rabbi Shimon's shita, who we paskin like, so Rabbi Shimon tells us that the ksus laila are pater from tzitzis. Why is it that women are exempt from, why is it a mitzvah saseh shazman grama, why are women pater? Because ksus laila are pater. These garments in the night are pater from tzitzis. That turns tzitzis into a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. And the question becomes, what exactly are ksus laila? What are these garments of the night that turn tzitzis into a mitzvah saseh shazman grama? So this is a big time Machlokas Rishonim to the Rambam versus the Rush. If you saw the Marmakomos, so you'll see that the Rambam and the Rush have a basic machlokas on this issue as to what are these ksos laila, what are these garments of the night that are exempt from tzitzis. Starting with the shita of the Rambam says that when we say that garments of the night are pater from tzitzis, we're not referring to a type of garment. We're referring to a zman, referring to a time frame, the time frame of nighttime. But the Rambam says that you're only chayiv to put tzitzis on during the daytime. When you put on a garment during the daytime, then you're chayiv in tzitzis. But if you put on a garment at nighttime, then you're going to be pater from tzitzis. Garment of the night means garments that are worn during the night. Any garment that you wear during the nighttime, if it has four corners, it doesn't matter, it's me pater from tzitzis. You're only chayiv during the daytime, not during the nighttime. That is shita number one, shita sarambam for what ksus laila is referring to. It's not a type of garment, it's a zman. However, now we come over to the second shita, which is the shita of the Rush. The Rush, if you saw the Rush carefully, argues in the Rambam and says that Ksus Laila, these garments of the night, is not referring to a time frame, but rather it's referring to a type of garment. That Ksus Laila refers to garments typically worn during the nighttime. Garments typically worn during the nighttime are patur from tzitzis, even if they have four corners. The only type of garment that's chayav in tzitzis is a garment typically worn during the daytime. So if you put on your four-corner pajamas, since that's a garment typically worn during the nighttime, that's going to be exempt from tzitzis. If you put on a four-cornered polo shirt, let's say, so that's going to be chayav in tzitzis, that's a garment typically worn during the daytime. So we now have a basic machlok rishonim within the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that tzitzis is mitzvah saseh, shezman grama, because these ksos laila are patur from tzitzis. And the question is, what are these ksos laila? What are these garments of the night? Two basic shittos in the Rishonim. Shitta number one is the shitta of Rambam. That's not referring to a type of clothing, rather a zman. That tzitzis are always only chayav during the daytime. They're pater at nighttime. Anything you wear at nighttime is pater from tzitzis. That's the shitta of Rambam. Whereas the Rush holds that it's not referring to a zman, it's referring to a type of clothing. That the only type of clothing that's chayav in tzitzis is your four-cornered polo shirt, a garment typically worn during the daytime. But a garment typically worn during the nighttime, your pajamas, is going to be pater from tzitzis. So that's Machlokas Rambam versus Rush. Now, there are two nafkaminas between the Rambam versus the Rush. Can anyone now see what the two nafkaminas are between the Rambam versus the Rush?
Yes, if you're wearing night clothing during the day.
What did you say, Yehuda?
You're wearing, I guess, a pajamas during
exactly,
the day.
Exactly. Nafkamina number one is, what if you wear your pajamas during the daytime? You want to take a nice nap. The summer's month is over. We have 2 weeks till yeshiva starts. So you want to take a 1 o'clock nap. Put on your pajamas, your four-corner pajamas. So would it be chayav to put tzitzis on those pajamas? So that's going to be nafkamina between the Rambam versus the Rush, as Yehuda just spelled out so beautifully. Starting with the shita of the Rambam. So the Rambam says that tzitzis are a function of the time, that anything worn at nighttime is pater, anything worn during the daytime is chayav. Even your four-corner pajamas are chayav during the daytime. So it's very nice that you're putting on four-corner pajamas. According to the Rambam, that's going to be chayav in tzitzis. It might not be as comfortable to sleep in, but you'll be chayav in tzitzis according to the Rambam. Whereas according to the Rush, it's not a function of the time frame, it's a function of the type of garment. And if you're wearing a garment typically worn at night, even though it's during the daytime, you're going to be pater from tzitzis. So that is nafkamina number one, if you wear your pajamas during the daytime. What's the second nafkamina?
I guess if you wear your work clothes to sleep.
Exactly. So the second nafkamina is, if you wear your four-corner polo shirt at nighttime. I'm just picking a garment that we typically wear during the daytime. I don't want to be buttoned down or whatever. We're nondescript in this chabura, as you can see in today's topic. So whatever it is, if you wear your a daytime garment at nighttime, your four-corner polo shirt at nighttime, so that's going to be our second nafkamina. Starting with the shita of the Rambam, so the Rambam says that it's all function of the time frame. Anything you wear at nighttime is patur from tzitzis. It doesn't matter if it's a polo shirt, doesn't matter what type of garment it is. If you wear it at nighttime, it's patur from tzitzis. As opposed to the Rush, who says that it's a function of the type of clothing. According to the Rush, if it's a polo shirt, if it's a daytime garment, that's going to be chayav in tzitzis, even though you're wearing it at nighttime. So these are the two nafkaminas between the Rambam versus the Rush. And with that, we've concluded the basic facts of today's sugya. So let's chazor over the facts, and then we'll stop for questions, and then we'll start the analysis. So again, today's discussion is the topic of women wearing tzitzis. We're starting out with a machlokes tanoim on daf mem gimel amud aleph in Menachos. Asked if women are chayav in tzitzis or not. Tanakama says yes. Rabbi Shimon says that no. And the issue is, if tzitzis is a mitzvah saseh shezman grama, Tanakama says that it's not a mitzvah saseh shezman grama, so women are chayav. Rabbi Shimon says that it is a mitzvah saseh shezman grama, women are pater. Why is it a mitzvah saseh shezman grama? Because of ksus laila. Since these garments of the night are pater from tzitzis, that turns tzitzis into a mitzvah saseh shezman grama, which are going to exempt women from this mitzvah. And the question we then asked ourselves was, well, what are these ksus laila? What are these garments of the night that is turning tzitzis into a mitzvah saseh shezman grama? So this is a machlokes Rambam versus Rush. Shita of Rambam, shita number one, was that it's a function of the time frame, that anything you wear at nighttime is pater from tzitzis, anything during the daytime is chayav. Ksus laila means the time of night, that garments worn at nighttime are patur from tzitzis. Whereas the Rush is saying it's not a time frame, it's a type of garment. The garment typically worn at nighttime is patur from tzitzis. A garment typically worn during the daytime is chayav in tzitzis. And we had our two nafkaminas in this machlokas, which Yehuda and David tag team chavrusa pointed out the two differences between the Rambam versus the Rush. Okay, any questions on the facts? Okay, good. Okay, so I guess now that we're graduating today, so what's the issue we're now going to ask ourselves?
On the rush, that he would say that Nashim Chayiv, but he's holding like according to his thing that it's about the Ksus, then it should be that Nashim are Chayiv, but yet he's going like Rav Shimon, who says
okay. You have to be excellent points. So you're two steps out of the game. So we're gonna get to that in a minute. Let me build up a little bit more. Okay, so the issue we're now gonna ask ourselves is, but before we get to David's point, which is an excellent point, but starting before that, is what's the Hesber in this machlokas? That's what we do in this venue. We start out the facts, is always part one, and part two is you're trying to conceptualize and develop the principles behind the facts. And so the question we're gonna ask ourselves is, what's the Hesber in this machlokas? What's the conceptual basis for the Shita of the Rambam? What's the conceptual basis for the Shita of the Rush? We're gonna come to David's point in a split second, but let's just get there. What's the Hesber in this machlokas? And specifically, we're going to focus on the Shita of the Rush, as David just highlighted. The Rush in Shita number two is giving us a particular Shita for what it means to be Ksus Laila, that it's not a time frame, but it's a type of garment. It's your pajamas. That's what Ksus Laila means. Now, the Rambam obviously didn't want to say like the Rush. The Rambam proposed a different explanation for Ksus Laila. It's referring to a time frame. So the question we're going to ask ourselves is, why did the Rambam not say like the Rush? And why was the Rush okay saying like the Rush? What's the Hesber in that machlokas as if the Rush's explanation is viable or not? That's the issue we're going to ask ourselves. Okay. So David already picked up on the Nakuda and the Rush Hashita that we're going to capitalize on. So normally I would oppose this to the Chevra, but David already hit the nail on the head. So let's build off of David's point, and then we'll try to figure out what's going on here. The issue is going to be as follows. Ultimately, everyone agrees that tzitzis has to be a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. We're in the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is telling us that tzitzis is a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. So whatever your explanation is going to be for what ksus laila are, for what this exemption is for garments of the night, that has to turn tzitzis into a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. The Rambam's explanation, the Rush's explanation, they have to turn tzitzis into a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. And so the issue at hand is going to be, as David just pointed out, that the Rush is giving an interesting shot in what it means to be Ksus Laila, that's not referring to a time frame, rather it's referring to a type of garment. And the question is that a viable explanation for why tzitzis would be a mitzvah saseh shazman grama? If you work with the Shita of the Rush, that the daytime garments are always chayv in tzitzis, nighttime garments are always putter in tzitzis. Ksus Laila means nighttime garments of the night, your pajamas. Would that really make tzitzis into a mitzvah saseh shazman grama? We're going to say that the Rambam is going to say no, that the Rambam did not like the Rush Hashita because that now would not have made tzitzis into a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. And the Rush feels obviously yes, that this is a perfectly fine explanation for why tzitzis is going to be a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. This is the point David just made, but I'm just elaborating on it. Here, David, here, what are we doing? Imam just made this point. You just asked, isn't Rush saying like the other Shita? I'm just phrasing it another way of saying, how is this a mitzvah saseh shazman grama according to the Rush? That's the question we're asking ourselves. And Lev, this is the question you also asked in the morning. So that's what we're asking right now. Okay. So this is going to come down to a fundamental chakira as to what it means to be a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. We have this principle that any positive mitzvah that's dependent upon time, that's zman grama, is a class of mitzvahs that women are exempt from. And the question becomes, what is the criteria to be defined as zman grama? What does it mean to be dependent upon time? That's the issue we need to analyze. So there's a classic chakira in the Achronim. There are two possibilities for how to define what it means to be a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. What does it mean to be dependent upon time? And we're going to use that chakira to explain what's going on in our machlokes in the Rambam versus the Rush. So let's build up the chakira together. So what does it mean to be a mitzvah saseh shazman grama? Can anyone give us one possibility? In our chakira, the second possibility is going to be a little bit more abstract. So I don't know if the chevra is going to get the second one. The first possibility is very straightforward. Can anyone give us a possibility for how to define what does it mean to be dependent upon time? It's a very vague term, dependent upon time. Now we want rigid definitions, what it means to be a mitzvah saseh shazman grama.
It can only do it at a certain period?
Exactly. 100%. Exactly. The first side in our chakira, as Yehuda just spelled out, is to say that when we talk about a mitzvah that's dependent upon time, it means a mitzvah that is bounded by time, that it only applies at a specific interval of time. Maybe that's what we mean when we talk about this class of mitzvahs of a mitzvah aseh shazman gram. A mitzvah aseh shazman gram, as Yehuda just said, is a mitzvah that only applies at a specific point in time, is bounded by time. Like the mitzvah of shofar. Shofar only applies at a specific point in time of the year. And so shofar would be a mitzvah aseh shazman gram. So this is the first tzad in our chakira, that zman grama means, dependent upon time, means that it's bounded by time, a time-bound mitzvah. And if you saw the Mar Makomos, the Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos spells this out. The Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos spells this out exactly, that a mitzvah says zman grama is where the zman, where the mitzvah is mugbul, it's bounded by time. The Rambam sets down this exact definition in the Pirush Mishnayos. A mitzvah that's bounded by time is what is defined as a mitzvah says zman grama. Now, there's a second possibility that's very abstract. I'll give the guys a 10-second shot to try to get it. I don't think the Chevra can get this one just because it's a very abstract idea. But let's see if someone can come up with it. There's a second possibility for how to define a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. What do we mean when we say dependent upon time? Not that it has to necessarily apply at a limited point in time. Keep in mind the Shita's a rush here, right? The rush is telling us that since this is a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. We need a second sign in our chakira now to explain the Shita's a rush, that it's not about being at a specific point in time, but something else. We need some other definition for what it means to be a mitzvah saseh shazman grama, dependent upon time.
Can you say that it's not categorical, meaning there are options?
You're not wrong, but I need to push you because there are a lot of mitzvahs that have options. Meaning, some mitzvahs have options. You know, you can do it, you cannot do it. You can bring a korban nedava, you cannot bring a korban nedava. Meaning, so what do you mean when you say it has options? You need to say a little bit more.
Maybe it's about not time necessarily, but restriction by like opportunity of.
You're absolutely correct. But can you just throw the word time into what you said? I mean, you're right. But we need time. You're right. You're absolutely right. You said it. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but your mama said it, David. You just need to add the word time. So what David basically is saying, and Lev also kind of said this. You want to finish it off, Lev? You want to?
I just need to think about it for more than a second.
No problem. I know it's all on the spot. This is how, you know, this is how we learn. And the Chevra, first day of the year, there's no way anyone would have copped what we're going at here. You know, you're all picking up on things right now. So it's really phenomenal how much everyone's grown. I joked to myself that it was a 2-month boot camp for Derech HaLimud. Everyone's grown so much over this juncture. But the second side, it's a little abstract. So like it's hard to cop it. So, but David really hit it and Lev also kind of hit it. You just got to push it. The second side is to say like this. And we're going to have to see examples to appreciate what we mean, but just get the definition down and then we'll start plugging it in. The second thought is to say that when we talk about dependent upon time, it doesn't have to mean, as Yehuda had said, that it's limited to a specific point in time. That was the first thought. What do we mean when we say dependent upon time? It means that time has to go into defining the parameters of the mitzvah, that time has to play a role in defining the parameters of the mitzvah. When David spoke about having options, it's options based on time. I mean, you're right, just based on time. That time goes into defining the parameters of the mitzvah. The mitzvah of shofar, let's say. So one of the details of shofar is you have to blow it on Echad B'Tishrei. So time is playing a role in defining the mitzvah of shofar. You have to have a horn, you know, the right a horn of the correct animal, and it has to be blown on the first day of Tishrei. So time is playing a role in defining the details of the mitzvah. So taking a step back now, we're posing a basic hakira that we're developing together here, as to what it means to be a mitzvah aseh shazman grama. What do we mean dependent upon time? The first side is Yehuda's side, that maybe it means bounded by time. As the Rambam spells out in the Perush Mishnayos, it has to be limited to a specific point in time. It's bounded by time, a time-bound mitzvah. That is the first side in our chakira. And the second side is David basically said that where time goes into defining the parameters of the mitzvah, that there are certain options for when to perform the mitzvah, how yes, how no, based on time. Time defines the details of the mitzvah. So now anyone want to just finish this off for us, take this chakira now and plug it into our Machlokas Rambam versus the Rush. Can someone just plug it in? meaning explain why the Rambam didn't like the Rosh Hashitah and he had to say his Shita, why the Rosh was okay with the Rosh Hashitah. We use this Chakir just to plug that in.
Because I guess the Rambam holds about like the first side of the Chakira where it's time bound, while the Rosh...
plug that in.
Therefore, he says that it's about you can only do it at night versus you can only do it during the day, so it's bounded by those specific times.
Excellent, excellent.
Whereas the Rosh is saying that it's a defining quality of the mitzvah has to do with time, so meaning a nighttime clothing is potter and daytime clothing is chayev.
Exactly, 100%. You had a look at the chavrusa that you have. Look at that. You got a shep nachas. Look at that. Excellent, excellent. Let's just spell out what David just said. So going with the first side in our chakira, the first side in our chakira was to say that zman grama means that it's bounded by time. It's limited to a specific point in time. If we go with the first side in our chakira, so then we have a deadly problem with the shita of the Rosh. Because according to the Rosh, tzitzis is not bounded by time. Tzitzis applies 24/7. It's true, it only applies to a certain type of garment and not another one. It applies to your polo shirt and not your pajamas. But lamaisa, when it does apply, it applies 24/7. It's not bounded by time. And so working with this first side of the chakira, we cannot work with the Rosh shita. We would have to work with the Rambam shita. According to the Rambam, tzitzis is indeed bounded by time. It applies during the morning. It doesn't apply at nighttime. It's a mitzvah that only applies at a specific point in time. And so this is going to be the hezb behind the shita of the Rambam. The Rambam will be l'shitaso. Rambam in the Perish Mishnayos on Kedushin set down this definition for zman grama. It has to be bounded by time. Therefore, the Rambam concluded, we can't say like the Rosh. It can't be that the ksos layla is a type of garment. It has to be a type of time, a specific point in time. That nighttime, during the nighttime, we're going to be pater. We'll be chayev during the daytime. So that's the hezb behind the shita of the Rambam. On the other hand, moving over to the second side in our chakira, the second side in our chakira is to explain that really when we say mitzvah saseh shas man grama, it doesn't mean that it has to be limited to a specific point in time. Rather, it means that time has to go into defining the parameters of the mitzvah, that the details of the mitzvah have to be a function of time. And so if that's the case, so now we can understand what's going on in the Rosh Hashita. Because while it is true according to the Rosh, tzitzis applies 24/7, but at the end of the day, time plays a role in defining the details of the mitzvah. Time defines for us what type of garment is chayiv in tzitzis. A garment worn at a certain point in time is chayiv in tzitzis. A garment worn at a different point in time is pater from tzitzis. Time is defining the parameters of the mitzvah, and therefore it could be a mitzvah tzaseh shas man grama. So with that, we've concluded our first part of today's shir. This is the basic groundwork of the sugya of mitzvah tzaseh shas man grama and women wearing tzitzis. We have Ramachlokas, Tanakam, and Rabbi Shimon. Within Rabbi Shimon Shita, Machlokas Rambam versus Rosh, which is now coming down to this fundamental chakira that we all developed together as to what it means to be a mitzvah saseh shas man grama. Is it like our first side, the Rambam Shita, that it's about being bounded by time, limited to a specific point in time? Or it's like the second side, the Shita of the Rosh now, that it's where time goes into defining the parameters of the mitzvah. Any questions on part one? Okay. Okay. Yehuda, can I get that thumbs up one last time, you know? thank you. They need to have like a double thumbs up, you know? Okay. And a clap. Thank you. Okay, so now let's come over to part two of today's shir, where we're going to discuss two nafkaminas in this chakira. Two nafkaminas in this chakira as to how to define what it means to be dependent upon time, a mitzvah saseh shas man grama. So the first nafkamina is going to enter the world of Kiddush Levana. We're now going to move over to discuss the mitzvah of Kiddush Levana. You know that we have this mitzvah. Once a month, we say this bracha on the renewal of the moon, the mitzvah of Kiddush Levana. And the question we're going to ask ourselves is whether women are chayiv in the mitzvah of Kiddush Levana. That's the question we're now going to ask ourselves here in nafkamina number one. So the discussion here begins with the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph. The sugya of Kiddush Levana, everyone will look into it, is the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Mem Aleph Amud Beis to Mem Beis Amud Aleph. That's the piece of Gemara that tells us the details of the mitzvah of Kiddush Levana. And there's a specific Shak Levataria, Shak Vataklev, is that Shak Vatak, on Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, that discusses Kiddush Levana, a specific aspect of it, which is going to set up this discussion about the women being chayiv or pater in Kiddush Levana. Okay, so it goes like this. The Gemara there wants to know, what is the text of Kiddush Levana? What's the girsa that we should say in the bracha of Kiddush Levana? So there's a back and forth between Rav Acha and Rav Ashi on this issue. Starting with Rav Acha, so Rav Acha says that in Marava, the text that they would say for Kiddush Havana was Baruch Mechadesh Chadashim, a very short text, Baruch Mechadesh Chadashim. That was the text that they said in Marava for what the for Kiddush Havana, for the bracha for Kiddush Havana.
Without Hashem's name?
Oh, excellent. So there's a machlokas on that. Does it, if it includes Hashem's name? Good point. I'm glad you picked up on that. Is it a short? It could be the Gemara speaking shorthand. It's really with Hashem's name, Shema Malchus, or maybe not. But very good point there. Excellent. Wow. Beautiful. Okay. So that was Rav Acha's text for Kiddush Levana. Comes along Rav Ashi with an interesting rebuttal. He says that that's the type of text that our women say. That text of Baruch Mechadesh Chadashim is a type of text that our women say. It's not such a sophisticated text. And so it's not so appropriate to use that type of text for Kiddush Levana. We need a more elaborate text. And so Rav Ashi goes on to give the text that we have every month for Kiddush Levana. Rav Ashi goes on to give the text that we're used to, Asher b'ma'amoro, bari shechakim, uvuruf piv, etc., etc., etc. The bracha we say every month is presented by Rav Ashi. So this is the back and forth as to the text of Kiddush Levana. What's the appropriate text of Kiddush Levana? Rav Ashi says, Baruch Mechadesh Chadashim. Rav Ashi responds, that's an unsophisticated text. That's the kind of text that our women would say. And therefore, Rav Ashi goes on to present the text that we say every month for Kiddush Levana. Now, the question is how to understand the exact response, the exact rebuttal of Rav Ashi to Rav Acha. What did Rav Ashi mean to say when he said that that's the kind of text that our women say? Does he mean to say that the women in his society said Kiddush Levana, that they performed the mitzvah of Kiddush Levana, as would be a simple reading of this Gemara? That's the question we're asking ourselves. What's the implications of that statement of Rav Ashi when he said, that's the kind of text that our women say? So this is on chlokas in the Mefarshim between the Meiri versus the Magen Avraham. This is all in the Mar Makamos, a chlokas Meiri versus Magen Avraham on this issue. So starting with the Shita of the Meiri, so if you look to the Meiri, you'll see the Meiri says the women are chayiv in Kiddush Levana. Meiri says the women are chayiv in Kiddush Levana. And this is based on a simple interpretation of Rav Ashi's statement, that when Rav Ashi said that's the kind of text that our women say, he was being serious, that our women say that kind of text. Some members of the society do say that kind of text, a less sophisticated text, but the absolute text of Kiddush Levana should be more sophisticated. So that's how the Meiri is interpreting this Gemara, and the Meiri is concluding that yes, women are chayiv the mitzvah of Kiddush Levana. Okay, so that's shita number one. But the Magen Avraham actually argues on the Meiri. We saw the Magen Avraham, so he proposes a different understanding of this Gemara and women's obligation in terms of Kiddush Levana. Magen Avraham says that actually women are pater from Kiddush Levana. Why are they pater from Kiddush Levana? Because Kiddush Levana is a mitzvah saseh, shaz man grama, that Kiddush Levana is a mitzvah that only applies at a specific point in time. We only have this mitzvah in the first part of the month, not the second part of the month. So this is a mitzvah that's dependent upon time. It's a mitzvah saseh, shaz man grama. And so therefore, women are going to be exempt from this mitzvah. So that's the Shita of Magen Avraham, that women are pater from the mitzvah of Kiddush Levana because it's a mitzvah saseh, shaz man grama. Now, of course, the question is, so how is the Magen Avraham going to read this Gemara in Sanhedrin when Rav Ashi said that that's the kind of text that our women say? Well, I thought women are not chayiv in the mitzvah of Kiddush Levana. So what did Rav Ashi mean when he said that rebuttal to the Tur of Acha? So the Magen Avraham is aware of this Gemara in Sanhedrin, and he says, lav davka, that the Gemara is not meant to be read in strict terms. When Rav Ashi made that statement, he didn't literally mean that the women in his society said Kiddush Levana. They did not say Kiddush Levana. Women are exempt from Kiddush Levana. It's a mitzvah saseh, shazman grama. What then was Rav Ashi responding to Rav Acha? So the Magen Avraham and the Machatz of the Shekler elaborates, basically, the point is that Rav Ashi was just saying that that's an unsophisticated text. That's a text that a less sophisticated person would use. And so therefore, Rav Ashi wanted to go to propose the text that we do use. But not that women are literally chayiv in the mitzvah of Kiddush Levana. Women are actually pater from the mitzvah of Kiddush Levana. So these are the facts here in our first Naf Kamina that we're trying to get at. We're discussing women's chiyuv in Kiddush Levana. We had this statement in the Gemara in Sanhedrin where Rav Ashi said that that's the text that our women use. And the question is how to interpret the implications of this Gemara, Machlokas Meiri versus the Magen Avraham. Meiri holds that women are chayiv in Kiddush Levana, as the simple reading of this Gemara would indicate, and apparently it's not a mitzvah to say shezman grama, whereas the Magen Avraham argument says that women are pater from the mitzvah of Kiddush Levana. because it is a mitzvah tasei shehazman grama, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin is lav dafka. And the question becomes, what's the hesber in this machlokas? What's the conceptual basis for the shita of the Meiri? What's the conceptual basis for the shita of the Magen Avraham? Okay. So the Chachma Shlomo makes a point, and based on this point, we're going to be able to analyze this machlokas. So I'm going to spell out the point of the Chachma Shlomo, and let's see if someone can capitalize on the point of the Chachma Shlomo and use our Chakira to explain what's going on in this machlokas. The Chachma Shlomo says like this. He's bothered by the Magen Avraham. He says, how can you tell me that Kiddush Levana is a mitzvah aseh shehazman grama? Because it's really not a function of time. That intrinsically speaking, the mitzvah of Kiddush Levana is not a function of time. It's true practically, it only applies to the first part of the month and not the second part of the month. But conceptually, it's not a function of time. What is it a function of? It's a function of the size of the moon. If you look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Mem Aleph on Beis, we say the bracha of Kiddush Levana on the renewal of the moon. As the moon's getting bigger, we're saying Kiddush Levana. Now, practically speaking, the moon doesn't get perpetually bigger. It doesn't always get bigger. If it got kept getting bigger, then you know it could be able to hit the earth. It wouldn't be good news. So it doesn't always get bigger. But so practically speaking, it only applies in the first part of the month and not the second part of the month. But conceptually speaking, it's not a function of time. It's just a function of a reality of the moon getting bigger. So how can you tell me it's a mitzvah saseh shehazman grama? It's not a function of time. It's just a function of a reality of the moon getting bigger. As the moon gets bigger, as it's renewing itself, we say this bracha, but it's not a function of time. You can't call it a mitzvah saseh shehazman grama. That is the taina that the Chachma Shlomo poses on the Magen Avraham. And the question now becomes, how do we defend the Magen Avraham? How do we explain this machlokas Meiri versus the Magen Avraham? So can anyone now use that insight of the Chachma Shlomo and now, based on that, use our Chakira to explain what's going on in this machlokas, to defend the Magen Avraham, and to explain the Meiri and the Chachma Shlomo on the other hand.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
Can we say that the Magen Avraham would hold like the first Sa'ad in our Chakira?
Namely,
that it has to be bound. There has to be boundary. It has to be bound by time. So at the end of the day, it is bound by time because the moon at certain points,
excellent. You
know, large, to us, it seems larger.
But excellent.
As the Chacham Shlomo's, and then apparently the Chacham Shlomo is going to ask, and he's going to know, like he's going to say, like the second side, that time has to define the parameters of the mitzvah.
Exactly.
In this case, it's not. So it
excellent. Excellent. So this is the way my Rebbe explained this machlokas, exactly as Lev had just pointed out. Based on this Chakira. The way Rapanis explained this was exactly as Lev had just said. So let's go through the two tzadim in this Chakira. If we start with the first tzad in our Chakira, the first tzad in our Chakira was Yehuda's tzad that mitzvah saseh shehazman grama means that it's bounded by time. It's limited to a specific point in time. That's what it means to be zman grama. If we say it like that, we can now defend the Magen Avraham and understand what's going on in the sheet of the Magen Avraham. Because while it is true that conceptually speaking, the mitzvah Kiddush Levana is not a function of time. It's a function of a reality of the moon getting bigger. But Lamaisa, the reality is that the moon only gets bigger in the first part of the month and not the second part of the month. And so this is a mitzvah that's limited in time. It's a mitzvah that's, practically speaking, bounded by time. And so working with the first Sa'ad in our Chakira, there's room to be mechadish. It might be a little bit of chiddush, but it's very understandable that Kiddush Levana would be a mitzvah saseh shehazman grama. Lamaisa, even though time doesn't define the mitzvah, it's bounded by time. It's limited to a specific point in time, and that can define it as a mitzvah saseh shehazman grama. And so that'll be the hesber behind the shita of the Magen Avraham, as Levit pointed out. Magen Avraham is going to go with the first side in our Chakira. That zman grama means you're a mitzvah that's bounded by time. It's limited by time. It only applies to a specific point in time. And therefore, he concluded that Kiddush Levana, at the end of the day, is limited in time, and it's a mitzvah saseh shehazman grama. Women are a pater. On the other end, if we move over now to the second side in our Chakira, so now things play out differently. Because the second side in our Chakira is to say that Zman Grama means that time defines the mitzvah. Time defines the parameters of the mitzvah. The mitzvah actually doesn't have to be bound by time. It has to be defined by time. Time has to define the details of the mitzvah, like by the Rush, where it wasn't limited to a specific point in time, but time went into defining the parameters of the mitzvah. If you go look at the second side, so now things come out differently. Because as the Chacham Shlomo pointed out, Kiddush Levana is not defined by time. It's not based on a calendar date. It's not based on time. Conceptually speaking, the mitzvah is not defined based on time. It's based on a reality of the moon getting bigger. And so working with the second Sanhedrin in Chakira, the Chachma Shlomo Taina, his Taina now comes to light, where Kiddush Lavana should not be a mitzvah Saseh Shazman Grama. It's not defined by time. A woman should be chayav the mitzvah of Kiddush Lavana. So this will be the hezber behind the shita of the Meiri. The Meiri had held that Kiddush Lavana is not a mitzvah Saseh Shazman Grama. Women are chayav in Kiddush Lavana. What's the hezber behind the shita of Meiri? He's holding like the second Sanhedrin in Chakira that Zman Grama means that time defines the parameters of the mitzvah, and time does not technically define the parameters of the mitzvah of Kiddush Lavana. So that was all nafkamina number one, this fascinating application of this chakira to the issue of women's chiyuv in the mitzvah of Kiddush Lavana. Any questions?
Rabbi?
Yeah.
He's asking generally, why can't we just say it's a mitzvah, say Shazman Grama, I guess Kiddush Lavana, because it has to be done at night?
So I'll tell you the truth. It could be that goes into the Magen Avraham Shita. Meaning again, the Chachma Shlomo will say that that's a practicality. That it's about the moon, so you only see the moon at night. It's not defined by time. If you want to add it onto the Magen Avraham side, so then maybe you're right. It's bounded by time. A, the first part of the month, and at nighttime. If you want to add that into the equation, it could be that help. So you're absolutely correct. Very good point. Excellent. Any other questions? Okay, so now we come to nafkamina number two. Nafkamina number two is going to enter the realm of machshava. The question becomes, why is it that women are pater from mitzvah saseh shazman grama? What's the machshava behind women's exemption from mitzvah saseh shazman grama? Now, we always have to be careful. Now, we have to appreciate that typically in morning seder, we ask what, we don't ask why. We don't deal with the machshava in morning seder. This is something for the Mashkiach and the Machshava Chaburas and the post Thursday night challenge, etc. But in this sugya, so the Machshava is connected to the Halacha. So that's what we're going to discuss. The Machshava, why is it that women are putter from mitzvah saseh shazman grama? Now, of course, we have to always make the very important disclaimer. We can't know all the deep, profound reasons of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can't even know the tip of the iceberg. But the Mefarshim do discuss this. So we're going to stick to the Mefarshim, what the Mefarshim told us for the reasoning for why women are pater from mitzvah saseh shazman grama. And specifically, we're gonna say over an avudraham. So the avudraham gives a certain machshava to why it is that women are pater from mitzvah saseh shazman grama. And if you think it through carefully, it's actually totally on our chakira. Our chakira impacts on the machshava of this exemption. So I'm gonna say over the avudraham, and Rav Moshe says something similar, which I'll say over also, and then we'll see if someone can step in and show how this is really connected to our chakira. So it goes like this. This is a very fond of Avudraham. I would never in a million years say this on my own. So I'm just going to stick to the words. I'm just saying over what he says. I'm just saying over what he says. I'm not a chauvinist. The Avudraham says like this. He says that the reason that the Torah exempted women from mitzvah saseh shazman grama, and the Avudraham was a Rishon, keep that in mind, is that it was for the sake of Shalom Bayis, because the Torah wants a woman to fulfill the will of her husband. He wants the wife, he wants the wife to tend to the needs, he wants the wife to tend to the needs of her husband. But the issue is that if we would be mechayev a woman, in the mitzvah saseh shazman grama, so a mitzvah saseh shazman grama is very prone to conflict, because since these mitzvahs only apply at a specific point in time, well, what are you going to do if at the very point in time that this mitzvah arises, the woman's husband expresses a certain will? What if at the very point in time that the woman wants to perform a certain mitzvah saseh shazman grama, the husband expresses a certain desire? Now the woman's going to have a conflict. On the one hand, if she does the mitzvah and doesn't listen to her husband, well, that's not going to be good for Shalom Bayis. It's not. We want the wives to listen to the wills of their husbands. It's not going to be good for Shalom Bayis. On the other hand, if the woman doesn't do the mitzvah and she fulfills the will of her husband, well, then it's not going to be good for her relationship with her Ribono Shel Olam. So since these mitzvahs are very prone to conflict and to create issues of Shalom Bayis, that's why the Torah exempted women from mitzvah saseh shazman grama. That is the explanation the Avudraham gives for the machshava, why was the Torah patched women from mitzvah saseh shazman grama. I'm not expressing any personal opinions. This is a Rishon. I'm just saying the words of the Rishon. I mean, I'm not Chas v'Shalom questioning the Rishon. The Rishon is the Rishon. I'm just saying over the words of the Rishon, the Avijraham, his explanation for mitzvah saseh, jezman grama. Now, the Rav Moshe in Igros Moshe gives a very similar explanation for why women are patur from mitzvah saseh, jezman grama. This was also in the extra credit section in the Mar Mekumos, on the beautiful Mar Mekumos packet that Yair Adler had made for us. The Rav Moshe, once again, emphasizes that we can never know all the deep reasons. We can never know all the deep reasons of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. But he points out that in this case, there's a glaring reason that we could present for why a Kaddish Baruch Hu exempted women from mitzvah saseh, shazman groma. Rav Moshe points out that with every type of creature on this earth, not just human beings, every type of creature on this earth, Hashem built into the nature of the Bria that the female of the species is always the one that is more capable of taking care of the children. This is a reality, it's a biological reality in the Bria, that the female of every single species on the earth is the one that tends to the children, that is more capable of taking care of the children. And Rav Moshe says that human beings are no exception to the rule. When it comes to human beings, so the women are more misugal, they're more capable, they're more fit to take care of the children than the husbands. So once again, Rav Moshe says that we need to ponder women from mitzvah saseh shezman groma, because these mitzvahs are very prone to conflict. That if at the very point in time that a woman's chayav in this mitzvah, a need of the house is going to arise, the kid needs something, well, now we have an issue, a conflict, which is not going to be a healthy resolution. And that's why we have to exempt women from mitzvah saseh shezman groma. So both the Avijraham and Rav Moshe are giving very similar explanations for the machshava. Why is it that women are exempt from mitzvah saseh shezman groma? The Avijraham is saying, the basic idea is that the needs of the household, we need the woman available to take care of the needs of the household, the needs of her husbands, the needs of the children. And these mitzvahs are prone to conflict since they only apply at a specific point in time. What are you going to do if at that very point in time, a need of the household arises that's going to create issues of shalom bayis? And that's why we exempted women from mitzvah saseh shezman groma. That's the machshava that they give for why women are patur from these mitzvahs. Now, can anyone see why this is really totally on our chakira, that the whether these explanations are fully understandable would depend on our chakira as to what it means to be a mitzvah saseh shezman groma?
Maybe it sounds like the first sad again is the concern.
Yes, flesh it out.
Because meaning just to speak out Rosh's learning sitzitz, for example, she could, meaning if you're going to say the time goes into it, and time is just needed to define the parameters, she doesn't necessarily have to be busy at specific points in the day doing
100%. Stuff. 100%.
If you're going to say, right.
100%. So this machshava is totally on the first side in our chakira. So let's flesh that out, as Lev had just said, that if you go to the first side in our chakira, the first side in our chakira was to say that zman groma means that the mitzvah is bounded by time. It's limited to a specific point in time. That's the essence of what it means to be a mitzvah saseh shezman groma. If we go with the first time in our chakira, so now what the Avijraham and now what Rav Moshe are saying is very understandable, because it comes out that these mitzvahs are always going to be limited to a specific point in time. That is what it means to be a mitzvah saseh shezman groma. It's a mitzvah limited to a specific point in time. If that's the case, so then yes, this class of mitzvahs are very prone to conflict. If at that specific point in time, a need of the household is going to arise, we're going to have a conflict that's not going to have a happy resolution. So we're going to first sign our chakira, we can understand this machshava for why women are patur for mitzvah saseh shezman groma. But if we move over to the second approach, the Shita of the Rush, well, then this becomes less understandable. Because according to the Rush, a mitzvah saseh shezman groma does not need to be limited by time. It does not have to be limited by time. It's as we see by tzitzis. Tzitzis applies 24/7. The mitzvah of tzitzis is not limited by time. It applies 24/7. According to the Rush, all zman groma means is that time goes into defining the details of the mitzvah, that the parameters are a function of time. But in terms of the practical application of when the mitzvah applies, it could apply 24/7. It doesn't have to be limited to a specific point in time. If that's the case, then these explanations are not fully accurate, because why should these mitzvahs be more prone to conflict than anything else? These mitzvahs apply 24/7 like other mitzvahs apply 24/7. It's not limited to a specific point in time where we can have that issue of a conflict. But what if at that exact point in time you have a conflict with your husband? The explanation, according to the Shita Zerash, it applies 24/7. They could apply 24/7. Conceptually, they're not limited by time. And so this machshava would not be so understandable. So this is then our second nafkamina in this chakira, the machshava of how to understand why women were exempted from mitzvah seseh shazman grama is impacted on our chakira. If you go with the first side in our chakira, so then we can give the explanation of the Avudraham and Rav Moshe that these mitzvahs are more prone to conflict because they only apply at a specific point in time. Whereas according to the Rosh, they could apply 24/7. They're not limited to a specific point in time. And so therefore, we would have to give a different explanation why women are patur from mitzvah seseh shazman grama. What would be a different explanation that could fit with the shita of the Rosh, with the second side in our chakira? So this is why I put Rav Hirsch on the Mar Makomus. We could all now open our doors up for this one and blast the speaker for Rav Hirsch's explanation for why women are going to be patur from mitzvah seseh shazman grama. Rav Hirsch says like this. I put it on the Mar Makomus. I apologize. The Hebrew is very difficult to read. The truth is that Rav Hirsch wrote it in German. He did not write it in Hebrew. The Hebrew and English versions are all translations, so there's no maila to the Hebrew version over the English version, but I just wanted to get it onto the Mar Makomos so guys can have the Mar Makomos packet for down the road. So that's why I put the Rav Hirsch on, even though I knew guys would not be able to read it. But this way, you know where it is. You can look up the English version. Rav Hirsch gives a very different explanation for why women are patur from mitzvah saseh shazman grama. Rav Hirsch says that when it comes to all the mitzvah saseh shazman grama, so ultimately, they're all meant to serve certain symbolic purposes and to endow us with different forms of Yirah Shemayim. That all the different mitzvahs, aseh, shazman, grama, are symbolic activities that ultimately Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to perform to endow us with certain understandings in Avodas Hashem and to endow us with certain fundamental truths, you know, about Yiddishkeit and Avodas Hashem. Like, for example, with the mitzvah of Sukkah. So as we've been learning all year long, you know, the mitzvah of Sukkah is a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. What's the reason for the mitzvah of Sukkah? The Torah tells us, L'man yedidur seichem ki besukkos hashavtis b'nei Yisrael. We want to remind ourselves that Klal Yisrael coming out of Mitzrayim were protected by Kadosh Baruch Hu in whatever Sukkos that they sat in. And so therefore we sit in Sukkos to commemorate that. And so it is with all the mitzvah saseh shazman grama. They're all ultimately coming for some symbolic, deep purposes that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to endow us with in performing these mitzvahs. So therefore, Hirsch says as follows. He says that to call a spade, you know, women are on a higher madrega than men. Women are naturally on a higher madrega than men, and they don't need as much of a reminder as men do when it comes to Avodas Hashem. Their natural spirituality allows them to, you know, not need the whole 613 mitzvos. They do need mitzvos, but not as many as the men do. Men need more mitzvos than women. So this class of mitzvot, which all serve some symbolic deep purposes, like the mitzvah of Sukkah, as you just pointed out, Hashem needed the men to perform those mitzvot to make sure that we stay on track, on pace in our avodas Hashem. Women who are naturally in our higher madriga, they didn't need this class of mitzvot, and that's why Hashem exempted them from these groups of mitzvot. Now, if you give this explanation, for why women are patur from mitzvot saseh shazman grama, this is not really emphasized in the time factor. It's just pointing out that they all happen to have a commonality, that these class of mitzvahs have a certain commonality. Hashem linked them all together based on time, but ultimately they all serve a certain purpose to give men an extra dose of Avodas Hashem, which women don't need. And that's really the concept of the exemption of women being patur from mitzvah saseh shazman grama. If that's the case, so that can even work with the second side in our chakira. According to the second side in our chakira, it's true. A mitzvah saseh shazman grama is not limited to a specific point in time. It could be it's going to apply 24/7. But the fact that it's defined by time is a similar davar. It's a simon that it fits into a certain class of mitzvos, that all these mitzvos that are defined by time, the Torah exempted women from, because these are mitzvos that Hashem needed men to perform to give us an extra dose of Avodas Hashem. Hashem did not need women to perform. So it's not the time factor that is what's exempting the women. It's not so that they can be more available to take care of the household. It's simply that Hashem set up a siman. There was a special inbuilt siman that these groups of mitzvahs were going to pater women from based on the siman that time has to do with the mitzvah. But the real reason women are pater is not based on being more available. It's not based on having more time during the week. And so this can work perfectly with the second side in our chakira. So this completes our second nafkamina in today's shir as to what is the reason that women are pater from mitzvah saseh shazman grama. We're pointing out that the two machshava approaches for how to understand why Hashem pat the women from mitzvos. We can't know all the deep reasons of Hashem, but just two proposals. The first one is the Avudraham of Moshe, to have women have more time, that they should be more available to tend to the needs of the house. And Rav Hirsch is saying, because women don't need the extra dose of Avodas Hashem as men do, Hashem didn't need to give them all 613 mitzvos. They needed mitzvos, but not as many as the men do to keep us on track. And so the Zman Grama is just a simon to reference a certain class of mitzvot that were extra credit for women and are needed for men, and it's not really based on time. And so therefore, we're pointing out that these two approaches are connected to Archa Kira, because according to the first sign, Archa Kira, these mitzvot are really dependent upon time. They're bounded by time, and you know, having women perform these mitzvot will make them less available. Whereas according to the second approach in Archa Kira, so we'd have to give a different approach, like a refersh, why women are patur from mitzvot sasei shas man grama. So with that, we concluded today's shir. So just to quickly summarize, today we discussed the topic of women wearing tzitzis. And in part one, we had the basic ground fact, the facts on the ground, that we have machlokas Tanakama versus Rabbi Shimon as if women are chayiv in tzitzis or not. Tanakama says that they are chayiv. Rabbi Shimon says that they're patur. Rabbi Shimon says they're patur because it's a mitzvah sasei shas man grama. Garments of the night are patur from tzitzis. And the question we asked was, what are these garments of the night that are patur from tzitzis? We have machlokas Rambam versus the Rush. Rambam says it's referring to the zman of nighttime. Anything you wear during the nighttime is patur. We had the Rush who said that it's a type of garment. Your pajamas are patur from tzitzis. And we pointed out together the two nafkaminas, Rambam versus the Rush. If you wear a nighttime garment in the day or a daytime garment at night, those are the two nafkaminas, Rambam versus Rush. And that was. And then the question we asked ourselves, what was the hezman is machlokas? So we had our hakira, the two tzedem. What's the definition of being a zman groma dependent upon time? The first side is that it's bounded by time. Second side is that it's defined by time. And we plug that into this machlokas. And then in part two of today's share, we had two nafkaminas in this machlokas. Nafkamina number one was Kiddush Levana. The machlokas Meiri versus the Magen Avraham asks if women are chayiv in Kiddush Levana or not. The Meiri says that they are chayiv, which is the simple reading of Gemara in Sanhedrin with Rav Ashi, that our women say that text. That's the text of our women. That's the Shita's Meiri. Magen Avraham says the Gemara is lav dafka, women are pater. It's a mitzvah saseh shas man grama. What's the hezron that machlokas? So the Chachma Shlomo pointed out to us the key insight that it's not actually a function of time. It's just the practicality that applies in the first part of the month, and as Yehuda said, at nighttime, but it's not really a function of time. And so therefore, we pointed out, it's telling this chakira that it is time-bound, it is bounded by time, but it's not defined by time. So that was nafkamina number one. And the second nafkamina was the machshava of this principle. Why is it that Hashem patted women from mitzvah seishas man grama? The Vajraham and Rav Moshe are saying to make women more available. The Rav Hirsch is saying because of the... Rav Hirsch is saying because women are in a higher madrega, they don't need as many mitzvahs as men. And we pointed out that that's all I tell, also tell on this chakira. That concludes today's shir, and this concludes today's man. So I just want to thank everybody. It was really a beautiful man. It was an unbelievable 2 months, just about. We really covered a tremendous amount of ground, and I could see tangible growth in everybody and everybody's questions in you know, interactions in shir and morning seder. It's like it's awesome. It's awe inspiring to see how much a chevra can grow in a mere 2 months. You know. The questions that I posed in today's shir, I never would have gotten this kind of input on the first week of Zman. Just no one appreciated what we're doing. Not in a bad way, just you need to get exposed to the different styles of learning. But now in today's shir, like everything I said, it just was just a setup and the chevra just stepped in and plugged it all in. So it's a tremendous shvach to the chevra. Again, I'm not saying that you're on a lower madriga at the beginning of Zman. I'm just saying in terms of being exposed to my style of analysis, to my Rebbe style of analysis. So it's so cool to see how much the chevra could steig in 2 months. And this should be I strongly encourage guys to realize that if you can grow in 2 months so much, so imagine how much you can grow for another year of learning, another 2 years of learning, et cetera. So I really strongly hope that we can keep a kesher on learning. We all developed a beautiful kesher over the summer. So I strongly encourage everyone to keep it up next year, even though I'm not giving shir to you guys, but we can still keep a kesher up. So please email me, text me, call me 24/6 as much as you want, please. And please stay in contact. It was really a wonderful Zman. So thank you so much to everybody. And maybe in some future venue, we'll be zocha to have some future learning experience together. We'll have a camp reunion, you know? We'll have a camp reunion with the... or I was telling Lev that we should have like a banquet, you know? Everyone gets up and shares their experiences over the summer. So please, now that we're friends, you know my email, you know my phone number. So stay in contact over the upcoming year and in the future. Shkayach, everybody.
Thank you. Amazing summer. Thank you so much.
Shkayach. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, shkayach. And just it's a chesed to me. It's a chesed to me. If the chevra could, I mentioned this to one or two individuals, if they could express a karas tov to Rabbi Sachs or Shiva in Ariel about our whole program. It's just the yeshiva really did put a lot of resources into the program. They give a free summer program, and they. Yeshiva in general just wants to make the guys happy. So, you know, if we tell them Hakar Satov, so it really is, if we tell them that we had a good time, then it's such a good way of expressing Hakar Satov to the yeshiva. And also just on a practical note, we're more likely to get more resources to do this in the future if yeshiva You know, here's a thank you. So as a personal favor to me, if guys could just express a thank you to Rabbi Sachs and Ariel, so that would be a big help just to solidify what we accomplished over the summer. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful, wonderful time, everybody. Have a wonderful Shabbos, wonderful next 2 weeks. Shkayach.
Thank you very much.
Shkayach.
Have a good Shabbos.
Shkayach, Shabbos.